651, 1320 WILS. So WikiLeaks today coming out and unveiling a trove of documents showing how the CIA is able to spy on us through our iPhones and normal phones. Also, our computers, of course, and now even our television sets, Samsung TVs. Brandon McCrill is with us, a principal and information security consultant at Rendition InfoSec. And they do a lot of this kind of security work. Brandon, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, thanks. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. Well, first of all, they're using Samsung TVs to do surveillance. Is it clear how they're able to do that?
Well, listen, this is something built into Samsung firmware. What's interesting is Samsung TVs, right? Why would they pick just that sort of TV? There must be a specific target set. An individual or group that's known to use these things that they're trying to go for here. So I think what's interesting is, you know, do most citizens have to worry about their Samsung TV spying on them in their living room? Probably not, unless you're on a CIA watch list.
Did this surprise you what the CIA is actually able to do from what we're learning here?
Listen, allegedly these are from the CIA. We've had many reports saying that that they're accurate, that this is legit. Does anything surprise me with the CIA? Absolutely not.
So basically, they can just get into any of our phones and computers that they want to and pull any information they want no matter what we do?
There are specific capabilities with specific phones, right? If your iPhone 5, iPhone 6, 7, et cetera, and your Samsung TV is just a great example of that one specific model. Okay. But yes, different techniques are used and different capabilities, right? Whether it be just scraping your photos, searching through text messages, turning your camera on your phone, listening through your microphone, things like that.
So are they able to do things that you're not able to do as a security expert?
Absolutely. I wish I was as well funded as the CIA.
So we have are they using different software? What are they doing to be able to do these kinds of things that a normal computer person, an expert, can't do?
Well, listen, these sorts of things are from nation state, right? Nation state funded attackers or organizations. They're well funded. They have an army of people being able to develop this kind of stuff, look for these bugs. It's just outside the scope of a normal information security, private sector hacker.
They're finding what holes in the software. Is that what it is?
Holes in the software, holes in applications, different ways to get them to leak data that it's not supposed to do, flaws in the code, so to speak.
They apparently can bypass encryption on phones and messaging services. Was that news to you?
The CIA, just look at the spy movies. You always see them doing the coolest of the cool. Are there some things that are quite rudimentary? In coding concept. I think what's interesting is if you look more into some of the code names for this stuff, hammer drill is one that popped out to me. When you burn something to a CD, it trojanizes or puts a back door in some of the applications that you're burning to that CD. Now, if you think about that, that's, again, something very targeted. Most people don't have to worry about that. Okay. But it's just interesting to see what capabilities were developed.
Encryption, right? The whole point of that is to protect the data from people snooping in on it, right? So in a sense, is the encryption useless here? Or?
Encryption isn't foolproof. It depends on what encryption algorithms you're using. And there are definitely defeats for different algorithms.
Okay. You're saying what, they just have enough time and money to be able to dig around in ways a typical...
Enough time, enough money, a target that's big enough. They're going for the big fish.
Okay. So now when it comes to something like a Samsung television set, they're able to use the microphone and somehow listen in on people, right? Because we have now these things like Alexa, right, and Echo, these kinds of machines that listen to our commands. Are they basically all open to potentially eavesdropping on us now?
Well, I wouldn't say that across the board. I would say that given enough time, money, and access to a certain code base, you can build in different ways to do things, turn on a mic, take a picture, turn on the webcam, things like that. It is possible.
Okay. You're saying that people at Amazon and Google, people that actually build this equipment, aren't able to safeguard the software to keep these things from happening?
Well, listen, I mean, minor flaws can reveal a much bigger security, gaping security hole, right? Something that wasn't intended to be such a big flaw could end up giving an attacker more privileged access than they should have. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing leads to this, kind of malicious use of the hardware happening.
Yeah. I mean, so when this comes out, do you imagine this changing the CIA's approach, or does it really matter to them at all?
Absolutely. I mean, from my company, Rendition InfoSec, you know, we respond to incidents globally. When someone gets hacked, we find out who did it and how they did it. The amount of source code that was released, we're writing signatures. Right now, I have a team working on writing signatures so that our clients will be able to identify if any of this is in their own network.
Okay. How do you figure out who's hacking one of your clients? How do you actually figure that out?
A combination of digital forensics, network forensics, pretty much ones and zeros on the wire is kind of my specialty. But they're always forensic artifacts, so to speak, left on a machine. When you run a certain program, there's a little artifact, breadcrumbs.
Okay, so it's always there to be found. And you're saying even sophisticated hackers aren't able to hide that somehow?
Well, it's interesting. In this leak, you see a, do's and don'ts page, which outlines that with every tool, they need to know the forensic footprint on disk, and that's what it spells out. So they want to know exactly what is changing on the computer when they use this specific tool against the target. I mean, that tells you right there that, they're trying to evade detection. So even the most sophisticated attackers sometimes just can't evade detection, for sure.
It's Brandon McCrillis, principal and information security consultant at Rendition InfoSec. How big of a company is that, by the way?
We're global presence, but just a limited number of us.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. Most of your clients are in the U.S. then?
All over the world.
Yeah. Most of the world. Most of the hackers, where are they from?
Well, listen, cyber attribution, as we call it, right? Figuring where the hack happened is kind of like picking a fight with a clown, right? Even when you win, do you really win?
Right. Is it mostly Russians and Chinese?
We see a lot of Russia, a lot of China. We see a lot of indigenous attacks in CONUS U.S. We've seen some of the weirdest things.
Yeah, and then you get to go knock on their door?
That usually doesn't happen. Usually, attacker traffic is tunneled through a bunch of points. So you can be in China and have your connection look like it's coming out of Russia. It's very easy to do.
Brandon McCrillis, it's Rendition InfoSec right here on WILS. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
You too. And that wraps it up for us on Tuesday. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on WILS. Good night.